Uyraysa.
Today's Amud is Sukkah Chaf Tesam and Aleph. We're holding on the bottom of Chaf Chesam Abayz by the beginning of the Gemara. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Kol Shivas Hayamim, all 7 days of Sukkah, all 7 days of Sukkot, Adam Oises Ukasoi Keva Ubeisai Arai. So a person's supposed to make his Sukkot that's his Kvius in the Sukkah, and his house is temporary. Ketzad, so how does this practically play out? How does he make his sukkah the place that he is bekfias? How you like kalim noim? If let's say a person he has nice kalim, nice dishes, mylon the sukkah, he should bring them to the sukkah. It seems like typically they had sukkahs on the roof, like we've mentioned previously by the sugya with the chasun. So that's why the brisa says mylon, bring it up to the sukkah, because typically the sukkah was on the roof. Al kopanim, if a person has nice dishes, so we should bring them up to the sukkah. Matzah is nice. If he has nice bed sheets, mylon the sukkah, he should bring it up to the sukkah. He should also eat, drink, and he should walk around, he should hang out. When he hangs out, it should be in the sukkah. Everything he does should be in the sukkah. Minan imili, how do we know this? The Tanu Rabbanan. We learned in the Braisa, which darshaned it from a pasuk. The pasuk says, Teshvu, which we darshaned from Teshvu, Ke'en Taduru. That should be like the way you live in your house. You should live in the sukkah, it should be like the way you live in your house. Mikan Amru, it's based off of this, that Chazal understood. Chazal said, that Kol Shivas Hayamim, all 7 days of Sukkot, Aisa Adam, Sukasai Keva, Ubeisai Arai. A person's supposed to make his kvias in the sukkah, and his house remains temporary. Ketzad, how was this practically accomplished? So now we're going to basically say everything we said until now, but we're going to add one more thing. A person has nice dishes, he should bring them to the sukkah. He has nice bed sheets, he should have them in the sukkah. Also, he should eat, drink, and he should walk around and hang out in the sukkah. This brisa now ends off with one last thing. Also, his learning, when he learns, Shinun is more specifically even referring to Gemara. When he learns Gemara, it should be learned, he should learn inside the sukkah. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that true? That when a person learns Gemara on Sukkot, he's supposed to dafka learn in the sukkah? Va'amai Rava, Rava taught us that mikro misna b'mitalalta, that when a person learns Chumash, when he learns Mishnayis, so that should be done inside of the sukkah. V'tanuye bar mitalalta. But when he learns Gemara, so that's outside the sukkah. So you see, Gemara is learnt outside the sukkah, not like what we said, that the Gemara is learnt inside the sukkah. So says the Gemara, like Asha, it's not a stira. Habe migras, habe yune. The way Rashi learns is that there's a difference between when a person's learning Bikias, Chazara, something which is easier, that's migras, and there's a difference between that and yune, when a person's learning something Bi'iyan. When a person's just being gairis, he's learning relatively quickly, chazara, bikias, so then that could be done inside the sukkah. However, when a person's mamish learning be'ian, so he needs yishav hadas to really learn, to learn well, and therefore he could learn inside, in his house, because he needs that yishav hadas to be able to have that type of learning. So that's how Rashi learns that there's this difference between learning something relatively quickly, chazaru or bikias, versus learning bi'un, that bi'un could be done inside the house. Rabbeinu Chananel learns that it's the opposite. Rabbeinu Chananel, for many Gemaras, it's printed on Chavtesam and Aleph, Rabbeinu Chananel learns that what learning bi'un is, in terms of learning, that's like the equivalent of food, that's like having a sudas, having a meal. So learning bi'in is like having a meal, that has to be done inside of the sukkah. However, learning bikias, so that's like a snack. So snacks, like we said before, achilas arai, could be eaten outside the sukkah. So it could be even eaten inside a person's house, like it's outside the sukkah. So too, says Rabbeinu Chananel, when a person's learning bikias, when he's just chazering, so that could be done outside the sukkah. That's like a learning, an araidika learning. It's i'un, that has to be done inside the sukkah. But the way Rashi learns is that no, it's the opposite. It's epikias, that he doesn't need as much yishav hadas, that he could do while he's in the sukkah. Even that he could do outside the sukkah, that he could do when he's inside his house. Now this idea that there's these two types of learning, learning quickly and learning bein, says the Gemara, that we find elsewhere also. Kiha, the Rava of Rami Bar Chama, they switched the gears to two, like that of Rava and Rami Bar Chama, kihavu kaime mikame de Rav Chista, when they were learning in front of Rav Chista. So the Derech HaLimud was that Merahati b'Gemara, they would first learn the Gemara relatively quickly, Bahadi Adadi altogether, Vahadar Ma'ini Bisvara, and then they would be Ma'ay, and then they would go into the sugyas. First they would learn it relatively quickly, and then they would go into the sugyas, which many Paiskim say this is the same idea really of Ligmor Inish Vahadar Lisbor, that a person should first learn quickly and then learn the svaras. Many Paiskim say that does not apply nowadays, that this was something specific to the times of the Chazal where they didn't have the Gemaras printed. You didn't have Gemaras in front of you. So you had to first get the Tzura of the Shmaitza clear. You had to first get the whole Gemara in order to know it, so it shouldn't be forgotten. We needed it to be that first we have the whole Gemara. Nowadays, you could just open up a Gemara. You don't have to have it in your head. You could just open it up. We have it all printed in front of us. So Lav Dafka, does this apply nowadays that this is the Derech HaLimud? But it's still helpful sometimes within a specific sugya to learn it over quickly before being ma'ayin, but that it has to be that a person learns the whole shas like this, that lav dafka applies nowadays. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rava, Mani Mishtya Mibitalalta, that the kalim of the drinking kalim, Mani is kalim, Mani Mishtya Bimitalalta, when a person finishes drinking, so he has now his dirty cup, that he could leave Bimitalalta, he could leave that inside of the sukkah. However, Mani Mechla Bar Mibitalalta, however, his plates, his spoons, his bowls, whatever, things like that, the things that he eats on, so those, they become much more dirty, and that a person should not leave inside the sukkah. The Mishnah Brura in Siman Tafresh Lamites, Sifka and Dalet explains because the person's sukkah is supposed to be house-like, so just like you wouldn't leave a mess around in your house, so you shouldn't leave your dirty kalim inside the sukkah. Drinking kalim don't become dirty. They're not as dirty. That a person sometimes, he leaves his cups on the table and he continues on because maybe he'll use it again or something like that. So that you can leave inside the sukkah. But the kalim that you eat on, so that once you're done, you should make sure to get it out of the sukkah. Says the Gemara Vayter, Chatzva v'shachil bar mitalalta. Also these, the pitcher or pail, different, like larger kalim like that, so those also, they don't belong in the sukkah. That's not something that's typically kept by the table, so you shouldn't keep that in the sukkah either. V'sharga b'mitalalta. However, a person's candles, that he could keep inside the sukkah. V'amri lo bar mitalalta. However, some say that the candles he should dafka keep outside the sukkah. And says the Gemara v'loi pligi. Even though it seems to be a machlaikis, it's not really a machlaikis. It's talking about two different cases. Ha b'sukkah gedayla, ha b'sukkah ketana. One's talking about a large sukkah, so then you could keep your candles inside. However, by a small sukkah, someone who has a small sukkah, he shouldn't keep his candles inside the sukkah. Now, a lot of different reasons are given by the Rishonim as to why not. What's wrong with keeping your candles inside of the small sukkah? The way Taisus and Divra Maskel Va'amila, the way Taisus learns, is that there's a chashash that it's going to burn down the sukkah. So you shouldn't keep, if a person has a small Zayin al Zayin sukkah, he shouldn't keep the candles inside the sukkah, because it might burn down the sukkah. The Magen Avraham in Siman Tafresh Lamites, Sifka and Beis adds, and then you won't have a sukkah. So therefore, a person who has a small sukkah should dafka not keep the candles inside the sukkah. Says the Gemara Vayter, Yardu Geshamim, we spoke in the Mishnah that if it rains while a person is eating in the sukkah, so there's a certain amount where if it rains that amount, that now you don't have to stay in the sukkah, now you could go inside the house. We said it's once it rains enough, that shetisrach hamikvah, once it will ruin this dish known as the mikvah. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, mishetisrach hamikvah shel grisen. It's referring to a porridge that's made from beans. It's specifically a grisen, a bean one, which is something which gets ruined fairly quickly. So it's a smaller, it's a much more kal, more lenient shear. That even if it's just a person's bean dish that will get ruined, that's already considered enough rain that now he could leave the sukkah. And like we mentioned when we read the Mishnah, that this is really just a level of tzar. So it has to be applied in all situations, that level of tzar, when a person wouldn't want to stay inside his house if he was in that type of situation, so then he could also leave the sukkah. Just like if a person had a leak in his house and it was ruining his food, he wouldn't stay there, so too in that type of situation, he could also leave the sukkah. Says the Gemara Vayter, Abaye havaka Yosef kamedra of Yosef b'mitalalta. There was a story, Abaye was one time sitting in front of Rabbi Yosef inside the sukkah, and Nashav Zika, a wind came, there was a strong wind, The kamaisi tzivasa, and it brought some wood chips into the sukkah. The schach had some wood, and the wood chips went into the food. It went into Rabbi Yosef's food, Abaye's food also. But Amar Lehu Rabbi Yosef was very bothered by the wood chips that came into the food, and therefore Rabbi Yosef said, "Panu limani mehacha, go get the kalim out of here. Let's go inside. This is too much for me." So Amar Le Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, "I understand that there are some wood chips in your food. That doesn't ruin the food. But now we learned in the Mishnah that when is it that you could leave the sukkah? It's mishatisra chamikpa. It's only once the food gets ruined. The food's not getting ruined just because there are wood chips. You could take it out. So why are you saying to clear the kalim out of the sukkah? How could you leave the sukkah? It's not yet the shear of tisra chamikpa." So Amar Leis, Rabbi Yosef said to Abaye, "Lididi, for me, kevada nina datoi, since I'm an istanis, I'm very sensitive, kimi shanis tishatisra chamikba damili." So to me, this feels like a situation of tisra chamikba. To me, since I'm an istanis, like we had also in Psachim on Kuf Yud Gimel Mabez, that Rabbi Yosef was an istanis, so Rabbi Yosef said to Abaye, even though it's not the sheer of tisra chamikba, I'm an istanis, and to me, this bothers me just like tisra chamikba. Now the question is that the Achronim ask is that the Ramah in Simin Tafresh Mem Sif Dalad, the Ramah writes black on white that when it comes to the heter of mitztayer, that if a person's mitztayer, he can leave the sukkah, it is not a subjective thing. It doesn't go by something which bothers you. If there's an individual that gets bothered by something, which typically people in general aren't bothered by, that doesn't warrant a heter of mitztayer to leave the sukkah. The heter of mitztayer is assessed objectively. Whatever most people generally, people would be mitztayer, it would bother them, it would make them very uncomfortable. So then there's a heter to leave the sukkah. But if you have an individual who he says, "Oh, this bothers me," so we tell him, so he has to get used to it, and he has to learn to deal with it. Because when it comes to the heter of mitztayer, we assess it on an objective level, we don't dan it subjectively. So the Achronim ask, what's the pshat in this gemara over here? Rabbi Yosef tells Abaye, even though it's not the shir of tisra chamikba, I'm sensitive, so to me this bothers me. But I thought the Ramah says that we don't go based off of we don't don this on a subjective level. We don this on an objective level. So how could Rabbi Yosef say that since to me it bothers me, so therefore I'm putter? So the Taz asked the Kasha, the Taz over there in Simen Taf Reish Mem, and Sif Ka and Vav, and the Taz says, the big Yisai that's used in Halacha with regards to Hilchis Sukkah, the Taz says that even though it's true that the shear of Tsar is an objective shear, like the Ramah says, being that all sensitive people, anyone who's an Istanis would have this sensitivity of Rabbi Yosef, so therefore now we could say that this is an objective Tsar for someone who's an Istanis. For someone who's an istanis, this is an objective amount of tsar that warrants a patur from sukkah. So that's not called a subjective patur. That Rabbi Yosef said about himself, that since he's sensitive, he can't handle the wood chips in his food, that's not called subjective. Because anybody who's sensitive, anybody who's an istanis, this bothers him. And there's a certain category of people called an istanis. So what we see from here is that even though tsar is, we measure tsar in an objective scale, it's still based on the subjective category of a person. And therefore, like Lamashal, let's say it's very cold outside. Now, for youngsters, it's not so cold. They can handle it. They put on a sweatshirt and they're fine. They could remain in the sukkah. But for people that are very old, that weather, when the temperature reaches so low, that's extremely uncomfortable for them. So we could say that for old people, there's a different level. It's an objective shear for old people. So you have to know what's considered a category and what's not. Not everything's considered a category. For people with with blonde hair, so this bothers, not everything's a category. But you have to, whatever the Paiskim say is a category, then we could done that there's such a thing called an objective shear in a subjective category. So that's what we see from this Gemara. That's what the Taz points out. That's what we learn from this Gemara with Rabbi Yosef. That Rabbi Yosef gave himself a patur, even though it seems to be a subjective thing, because it's subjective to his category, but then once you have it that he's in this category of istanis, so now that's an objective level of tsar for a person who's an istanis, therefore Rabbi Yosef said, "I'm potter from the sukkah." Says the Gemara Vayter, Tan Rabbanan, Hayo Eichu Basukkah the yardu geshamim the yaret. Let's say it was person was eating in the sukkah and it started to rain. So the yaret, so he went down. Again, typically the sukkah was on the roof. So when he leaves the sukkah, it's called he went down. He went back into the house because it was raining. It was the shear of Tisra Hamikba, let's say. So he went back down into his house. The halacha is that even when the rain stops, ein matshrichin oisei la'alais ad sheyigmor sudasei. We aren't matshriachim to go back up into the sukkah until he finishes his suda. Once he got the heter to leave the sukkah, and he now is eating inside his house, so he doesn't have to go back up until even if the rain stops, until he finishes his suda. He has a heter now to have the rest of his suda inside, and we'll discuss soon what the reason for that is. Hayyashin taches ha-sukkah, similar type of thing. If a person was sleeping underneath the schach, he was in the sukkah, the yardu geshamim, and it started to rain, the yaras, now he went back into his house to go to sleep, a matrich and I say la'lois ad sheyeor. So we aren't matriachim to go back up into the sukkah even after it stops raining, ad sheyeor. What's this shear of ad sheyeor? So by eating is until he finishes the suda. That was very simple. What is this shear of ad sheyeor? So says the Gemara Ibayluhu. The Gemara has a shaila what these words ad sheyeor means. Ad sheyeor with an ayin, it doesn't mean until he wakes up, meaning he has a heter now to go into the sukkah. To leave the sukkah, sorry. So he goes back into his house. He was sleeping in the sukkah. It started to rain. So he goes into his house. Now he's sleeping in his house. So Reuven, let's say, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven goes to sleep down in his house. Shimon's still up. And Shimon sees that it stopped raining. So should Shimon wake Reuven up to tell him, to make him go back into the sukkah? So the Gemara is saying, maybe that's one side, that it means, until he wakes up. Until Reuven wakes up, he's not chayiv. There's no need for Shimon to wake Reuven up. Even though Shimon sees and now it's not raining anymore, Shimon's gonna be chayiv to go sleep in the sukkah. But Reuven, you don't have to wake up Reuven, until you wake up, you're allowed to stay inside the house. Or does it mean with an aleph? Until it becomes sunrise. Until sunrise, he's allowed to stay outside the sukkah. He's allowed to stay inside the house. Meaning, even if he wakes up, even if Reuven himself wakes up, and he sees that it's not raining anymore, he looks out the window, and he sees it's not raining anymore, still, he's allowed to stay inside the house until it's morning. He's allowed to, it's like finishing the suda. So, until the morning is like finishing the sleep. How do you read these words, Achiyeyor? Do we read it with an ayin until he wakes up, or with an aleph until it's sunrise? So it says the Gemara Tashma, we have a Braisa. The Braisa says, Ad sheyeor v'yala mudashachar. It says that he could stay inside the house until it becomes sunrise, until it's amudashachar. So now that's a stirim neube. Nates is 4 mil, let's say, after amudashachar. It's much later than amudashachar. Let's say 72 minutes later. So what does this braisa mean? That he could stay inside the house until it's yeyur, until amudashachar. So it says the Gemara, tarti. That's a stirim neube. That doesn't make any sense. Ella says the Gemara, what the braisa must mean is that it must mean yeyur with an ayin. Ella ema ache yeyur v'yalim udashachar. Until he wakes up and it's amudashachar. So the Braisa is saying that he gets both kulas. That when if a person's sleeping inside the sukkah and it starts to rain, so now he goes back into his house, the halacha is that he could stay in the house until two things happen. Until he wakes up and it's amudashachar. If he wakes up and it's the middle of the night, he could go back to sleep. He could stay asleep. He could go back to sleep inside the house. He doesn't have to go to the sukkah. If it's Amud HaShachar and Shimon sees him, it's Amud HaShachar, but Reuven's still sleeping, he doesn't have to wake him up. It's only once he wakes up, and it's Amud HaShachar, so then that's when Reuven will now be chayiv to go back into the sukkah once it stops raining. Now basically two reasons are given for both of these halachas. This idea that a person who went inside his house to finish his suda, to eat his suda, so he could finish the suda, and this, that a person could finish his sleep until he wakes up, and it's amud hashachar. Two reasons in the achreinim are given for this petor, meaning l'chayra, once it stops raining, so he has a chiyuv sukkah, middle of the suda, go back into the sukkah, middle of the night, wake him up, or maybe if you don't have to wake him up, but for sure, if he wakes up, he should have to go back into the sukkah. So why doesn't he have to go back into the sukkah? So the Levush in Siman Tafresh Lametes and Sivvav, the Levush writes because of Mitztayer. It's very uncomfortable for a person who's already in the middle of his Suda, inside his house, to have to stop and go back out to the sukkah. It's for sure, it's very uncomfortable for a person who's in the middle of the night, he brought his bed back inside the house, he's sleeping, he's comfortable, to have to go back into the sukkah now, that's already considered Mitztayer, that's why he's not chayv to go back into the sukkah. The Bikur Yaakov, in Siman Tafresh Lametes, in Sifka and Lamedalid, he gives a different reason. He says that's because of the golden rule of Teishu Kein Taduru, that just like if a person left his house, or left his room at least, the room that he was eating in, to go somewhere else because there was something wrong with the room that he was eating in, or the room that he was sleeping in, and he went somewhere else, so if he's in the middle of his Suda and the problem goes away, he's not going to go back to his dining room. He was in his dining room and there was a problem. So he went now to the kitchen to have his Suda. He's in the middle of eating. They're not going to stop their Suda in the middle to go back into the dining room just because the problem stopped. So to on Sukkis, Teishu Kein Taduru, just like in your house, that's the way a person would be. So to on Sukkis, if a person left the sukkah because there was a problem, it was raining in the sukkah, so therefore now he doesn't have to go in the middle of his suda and to go back into the sukkah just because the rain stopped. And the same thing by sleeping. A person doesn't have to go back into the sukkah in the middle of his sleep just because the rain stopped. For sure, that's going to have both. That's going to for sure be very painful to have to leave in the middle of the night and go back into the sukkah. And also this reason of Teishu Kein Taduru, a person wouldn't do that inside of his house. He also is not mechuyev to do that for the sukkah. The Pais can point out that nowadays the shir is not going to be alayis hashachar. When it comes to sleeping, so in the times of Chazal, they typically woke up at alayis. So if a person woke up at alayis, so that I guess wasn't considered mitztayer, and it wasn't considered a bitl of teishu kein taduru to go back into the sukkah. Nowadays, if a person woke up at 4:30 in the morning, or whatever time alayis is around sukkah's time, if a person woke up at 4:30 in the morning, and he sees that it stopped raining, so that would be considered mitztayer to make him go back into the sukkah, and it also would not be Teishu Kein Taduru. A person wouldn't do that in his house when he woke up at 4:30 in the morning. So therefore, many Paiskim say that nowadays it's not going to be Tali in Alayis. So Shmuel Kamenetsky says this in Kovitz Halachos on Sukkos, in Perek Tazayin, Halacha Chavtas. Rav Shlomo Miller says this in Sheshanis Yisrael, Perek Ches, Halacha Aleph. A lot of Paiskim bring this, and nowadays that's not going to be the shir. Nowadays, Rav Shmuel says, the shir will be whatever is normal, whatever time a person typically wakes up at. So now, if he wakes up at that time and he sees that it's not raining anymore, then he'll be mechuyev to go back into the sukkah. Says the Gemara Vayter, Mashal l'mah davar daimah. We said in the Mishnah a mashal. We said that if it rains on Sukkos, so if it rains up while a person's trying to be in, to eat or sleep, whatever it is inside the sukkah, so we compared it to a person who goes to serve his master, pour him a drink, and he pours the pitcher on him. There was a lot of pronouns. And he pours the pitcher on him. So says the Gemara, Ibayiluhu, mi shafach lami, who's pouring the pitcher on who? So most people typically understand the Gemara, the Mishnah, and it could be based on the maskana of our Gemara that we'll see soon, is that it's the master pouring the cup onto the Eved. The Eved's coming to serve the master, and the master is saying, I don't want your service, and he takes the pitcher and he throws it in his face. However, the Gemara here has a shiloh that maybe it's the Eved who took the pitcher and threw it at the master. Meaning maybe the mashal is a mashal of an Eved that's not doing proper service. And the Mishnah means to be saying that when Klal Yisrael goes into the sukkah and it starts to rain, it's a mashal to the fact that they're not doing proper service. Says the Gemara that it's not like that. Tashma, we learned in a Braisa. The Tanya, Tashma, I'll bring you a Raya. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Shafach le Rabbi Kita in Alpanov. That the mashal is a mashal to the master who throws the kita in the pitcher onto the Eved. Va'amar le, and he says to him, Efshi b'shimusheich, b'shimushcha, I don't want your service. So it's a mashal to Kilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I don't want your service. That's the proper way to read the Mishnah. So now on this topic of simanim, says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, we learned in the Braiso, Bizman Sha'acham Olaika, at a time that there's a solar eclipse, when the sun is afflicted, so to speak, when there's a solar eclipse, so it's a simin ra l'chol ha'olam kulay. So it's a bad sign for the whole world. Mashal l'mahadav ha'daimet, what's it comparable to? L'melech basar v'dam, to a human king, Sha'asa suda l'avadav. He makes a suda for his servants. V'niach panis lifnehem. And he puts a lantern in front of them. He gives them some light. Ka'as aleim. He gets angry at them. Something happens and he gets angry at them. Va'amar l'avdai. So he tells one of his servants, Tol penes mipnehem v'hishivam b'chayshech. Take away the lantern from them and have them sit in the dark. That's, so to speak, that's the mashal. When there's a solar eclipse, it's kilu the master is getting upset at his eved, and therefore it's a simin ra l'kala ilam. Now, many people ask on this gemara that how could it be that there's a simin ra when there, how could it be that the solar eclipse is a simin ra if it's a natural and pre-scheduled event? The scientists, they could calculate when the next solar eclipse is gonna be. How could it be that it's a simin ra? The way I understand is that the question is making an assumption. The assumption that the question is making is that when the Gemara says that a solar eclipse is a simin ra, it means that it's a simin ra, it's a reaction, like this mushel, that it's a reaction to bad service, so to speak. That people aren't doing the right things, so there's a solar eclipse, that's a simin ra, it's a bad sign, it's a reaction to the fact that people aren't doing things properly. And if so, the question is, how could it be that it's a simin ra if it's a pre-scheduled, predetermined event? However, the Aruch HaNer over here on our Gemara, he writes that that's not the Pshat in the Gemara. He writes that when it says that the solar eclipse is a simin ra, it just means that at the time, during the time period that there's a solar eclipse, so that time period is like a shas hadin. It's a bad time. It's a simin ra. It just means that at the time that there's a solar eclipse, it's a bad time. It's a bad omen in the world. It's not a good time. It's like we have different months. Adar is a good month, Av is a bad month, the Gemara in Taina speaks about. So too, there's a bad mazel during that month. So too, there's like kilu bad mazel when there's a solar eclipse. When there's a solar eclipse in the world, bizman shacham aleika, it's during the time that there's a solar eclipse, the Aruch HaNer is medayik. So then there's a simin ra l'kol ha'olam. It's not a reaction, so there's no question. Yeah, it's predetermined. We always have predetermined things like that. Av is a predetermined month of the year, and yet still we say there's bad mazel during Av, and Adar there's good mazel, even though it's predetermined, it's pre-scheduled. I mean, so too, even though a solar eclipse is a pre-scheduled event, the Aruch HaNer explains that that's what it means, that it's a simin ra, which also Chaim Kanievsky in Derech Sicha on page 14. So over there, he brings that everyone knows that a lot of people know that World War I began on Tisha B'Av. And it makes a lot of sense that World War I began on Tisha B'Av. However, he brings over there that Rav Elio Lapian added that what less people know is that on the 29th of Av in that year, in 1914, on August 21st, it was in the English dates, so on the 29th of Av, there was a solar eclipse. And it was mamish the next day after that solar eclipse that Germany had one of their greatest victories, the Battle of Tannenberg, which was against Russia. So he pointed this out also, that there was a simin ra, you had the solar eclipse, and the next day there was a very bad thing that happened. So you also really see from there as well that he understood, like the Aruch HaNer, that not that it's necessarily a simin ra, it means that people aren't doing things proper. It's a simin ra that bad things are about to happen, so to speak. It's a bad time. There's bad mazel in the world during that time. That's how the Aruch HaNer reads this Gemara. Says the Gemara Baiter, Tani, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Meir says, arguing on this previous Braisa said that when there's a solar eclipse, it's a bad sign for the whole world. Rabbi Meir says, Kol zman shema iris leiken, anytime there's any sort of eclipse, so simin ra l'sayneihem shel Yisrael. It's not a bad sign for everyone. It's a bad sign for the enemies of Klal Yisrael, which is a euphemism for Klal Yisrael themselves. Mipnei shemelumadin b'makaseihen, because we know that Klal Yisrael, they're always the ones that get afflicted. The world is for Klal Yisrael. It makes sense. We're always the purpose for everything that happens. So therefore, when there's a eclipse, it's a bad sign really for Klal Yisrael, because they're always the ones that get afflicted. Mashal, it's a comparable a sefer shabal lebeis hasefer, to a teacher who goes to the school. He goes to the yeshiva, and he has a whip in his hand. Mi doyeg, when the students see the teacher with the whip, who gets scared? Mi sharag eluka is bechol yoyim v'yoyim. Who doyeg? The one who always gets hit. He's the one that gets scared. So too, since Klal Yisrael is the one that's meluban b'makai sehen, they're the ones who everything is really for. So they're the ones that get the afflictions. So therefore, they're the ones, it's a bad sign for Klal Yisrael when there's an eclipse. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Depends on the different types of eclipses. When there's a solar eclipse, so that's a bad sign for the Goyim. Levana laika, when there's a lunar eclipse, simin ra'la sanayin shal Yisrael. So then that's a bad sign for Klal Yisrael, b'mnei she Yisrael mainin levana. And the reason for this distinction is because Klal Yisrael, they count the years, they count the months using the levana, whereas the Goyim, they use the sun. So therefore, when the sun is laika, that's kilu, a bad sign for the Goyim, and when the moon is laika, it's a bad sign for the Yidden. Laika b'mizrach. Now, when the sun is laika in the mizrach, and on the east side, so simin ra l'yayshe mizrach. If the sun's on the east while the eclipse takes place, so that means it's a bad sign specifically for those that are living on the mizrach of the world. B'mayriv is a simin ra l'yayshe mayriv. If it's on the west side, so it's a bad sign for those on the west. B'emtza rikia, and if it's in the middle of the sky, so that's simin ra l'kol ha'ilam kulay, that's a bad simin for the entire world. Panav daimin ladam, if the sun turns red, so cheref balu aylam, so that's a sign that there's gonna be sword, that there's gonna be war in the world. Lesak, if it just gets very dark, like sackcloth, so that's a sign that chitzei rav balu aylam, that there's hunger pains coming, that there's gonna be a famine, because when a person's very hungry, his face turns black. Lezu ulezu, let's say both things happen, it turns red and black, so then cheref vichitzei rav balu aylam, that's a sign that there's gonna be war and hunger pains. Laku bichnisasai. If let's say the eclipse happens while the sun is at the end of the day, when the sun is setting, bichnisasai, when it goes into the rakia, meaning when the sun is going away, it's setting. So that's a sign that purana is shayha lavai. So since it happened at the end of the day, so that's a sign that the puranas are coming, there's gonna be calamities, but it's gonna be at the end of the day, it's gonna be still in some time. Be it siyasai, however, if the eclipse happens right when the sun comes out, when it comes into the hour when we see it, so then that's a sign, if it happens right in the beginning of the day, that memaheres lavai, that the piranhas are coming soon. It happened right away in the beginning of the day, so that's a sign that the piranhas are coming soon. And some say it's the exact opposite, that if the eclipse happens when the sun is setting, so that's a sign that it's happening right away, that we're right there, it's happening at the end, whereas opposed to if it happens in the morning, so that's a sign that we still have a lot of time still left of the day, that there's still some time until the Puranas are going to come. Says the Gemara Vayter, "Ve'ein l'chol kol uma v'uma shelaika." There is no uma that gets afflicted. She'ein alaykeha laika, that its God. She'ein aloheha laika, that its God doesn't get afflicted ima with it. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Ubechol alohei Mitzrayim esa shefatim." That our Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge even the gods of Mitzrayim. Ubezman sheYisrael aysin ritzoyne shel makim, and when Klal Yisrael is doing ratzon Hashem, so says the Gemara, "Emis yarin mikol elu." They don't have to be scared from any of these. When Klal Yisrael is doing Ratzon Hashem, they don't have to be scared from any of these different eclipses, any of these different signs. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Kayamar Hashem, al derech hagayim al tilmadu, ume oiseis hashamayim al teichasu. It says, and you don't have to be scared, al teichatu, you don't have to be scared from oiseis hashamayim, from the different signs in Shemayim. Ki yechatu hagayim mehema. It's only the gayim that have to be scared of them. Ayvdei koychavim yechatu, ve'en Yisrael yechatu. It's only the Goyim that have to be scared, but Klal Yisrael, when they're doing Ratzon Hashem, so they don't have to be scared. The bottom line is we had three different shitas about the different types of eclipses. The first brisa said that when there's a solar eclipse, it's bad for the whole world. Then we brought Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said that eclipses, all eclipses, they're not bad for the world. Rather, all eclipses are bad for Klal Yisrael. And then we had a third brisa that was machalik between the different types of eclipses. A solar eclipse is a simin ra l'goyim, and a lunar eclipse is a simin ra l'sanei and shal Yisrael.